I believe if we look at the tabernacle here, come with me, we look at the tabernacle, we see the entrance there at the front, we see the altar, and there we see the altar, and then we see the laver, which was for washing of the hands and the feet, and then we have the inner part, and you know, you walk in to the veil there of the tent. You walk in, and on the right hand side is the showbread. On the left hand side, the candles, the menorah candles, and straight ahead before the Holy of Holies tent entrance, the veil that was there. Just before that, we have another altar, the altar with the incense on it. Of course, there's a lot of representation in these things. We won't go into the representation now, but I was thinking that perhaps closer to Easter, we'll have a chance to really look at the tabernacle in more detail and see how this parallels the Christian truth. There's some remarkable, rich parallels in there that it's worth us taking hold of. But this morning, this is what I want to talk about. I want to talk about prayer. I want to talk about prayer. And, you know, people, we were trying to find time for prayer in the church, and it was an hour and a half, you know, we want to find an hour and a half, and it's difficult with the schedule. People work, and it's very difficult just to find the right time. And so people are now praying in the home groups that we have. I want to speak about prayer. And come with me to Psalm 91, please. Psalm 91. Psalm 91, verse 1, it says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide." Notice the word abide. Abide. Well, okay. Let's have a look then at another psalm. Let's have a look at Psalm 62, verses 1. And 8, Psalm 62, 1-8, we're building up a picture of what it is to be living close to the Lord. "Truly my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation." And then verse 8 of Psalm 62 says, "Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." In Psalm 130, Psalm 130, "Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord." And verse 5, "I wait for the Lord, my soul does wait, and in his word do I hope." You know, so many other verses we could quote to talk about waiting on the Lord. And I want to talk a little bit about waiting, but before waiting, let me talk about stage one of prayer. Stage one of prayer is when we pour out our hearts to God. Now, I'll tell you these stages because I think we would all agree that every Christian should pray. Are you with me? Now, the picture that we have in the New Testament of prayer is, in fact, from Jesus teaches us the Lord's Prayer, and that's a pattern. The Lord's Prayer is full of symbolic language, in fact. We don't have time to pick all that apart, but what we can say is this, that give us this day our daily bread. Well, it does mean the physical bread, but it also means the spiritual food that I need for every day. I need to be fed by Almighty God, and I'm looking to him to feed me. And so the Lord's Prayer is talking about that. One of the things that Jesus also taught us was to go into our room, shut the door, be on our own. Just go on your own. Jesus teaches us that way of praying. He says, just do it in private, on your own. No one else knows. You know, the hypocrites are there in the marketplace, and they're wanting to pray, everyone to listen to them. But you go in your room. Close your door. God knows what you do in secret, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen? Isn't he a rewarder of those who diligently seek him? Isn't that what Hebrews 11 says? Hebrews 11. And so, the picture that we have when we look at the Psalms and we look at the Old Testament and when we look at the New Testament is people who spend a lot of time in prayer, and there's a sense that they are diligently seeking the Lord, and prayer is a very important part of their lives. So forget this trying to find an hour and a half where we can all meet together. Actually, prayer was an integral part of everyday life for each Christian, where they were to go into their own rooms and pray. And this is a vital part of the Christian life. Now, watch this. The first part of prayer is this. We go into our room, we close the door, and we say, Lord, help me, Lord. Help my life. Lord, help my family. Help my friends. Help my financial situations. Help this problem out, Lord. Oh, Lord, I've got this situation. There's this situation. And we just pour our hearts out before God. You know, that's what we do, don't we? We just pour our hearts out before God and we just empty ourselves out. And that's what happens in the first stage of prayer. We just talk to him and just pour out our hearts. Are you with me? Amen. Everyone can relate. We just pour out our hearts to God. And we sort of empty ourselves out. We unburden ourselves to God. And when we've done that, many people think that that's the end of it. And they think that I've unburdened myself, I've emptied myself out, and we may spend 10 minutes doing that, we may spend half an hour doing that, we may spend 2 minutes doing it, we may spend an hour doing it. I don't know how long people spend doing that, but people pour out their hearts and, you know, it takes an amount of time. And usually what happens, sadly, and the Lord was speaking to me this week about us as a church, and he was showing me where people are and where we need to be. And this word is an encouragement along those very specific lines that he's saying to us, look, please don't leave it there. Now, what happens is people have peace in that first realm. So after they've unburdened themselves, there's peace. There's a sense of, yes, I'm relieved. I have peace. But that's not waiting on the Lord. They haven't waited on the Lord yet. Are you with me? There's no waiting yet. That's just pouring out. But there's no waiting done yet. The waiting happens after the pouring out. So we're pouring ourselves out, and now we come to the place where we just have to wait. Well, how do you wait? How do you wait on the Lord? I mean, what do you do to wait on the Lord? Well, same as waiting in the dentist. you just sit down, you're just going to wait. And that is one of the hardest things for anyone to do. And people don't do it. I know I'm speaking the truth. It's okay. It's okay. There's no condemnation for those in Christ. No condemnation. It's okay. It's all right. I understand totally. I'm there with you, okay? The Lord's ministering to each one of us. So he's ministering to each one of us. We're all in this together. And what we just sit, we don't sit down and wait because we've got busy lives. We've got things to do. I mean, dear me, we've got work. And then we've got other things. Got to go to school, the children, there's the shopping to do, there's this to do. I mean, I don't know about you, but you sit down like this and you see your mind is racing. I've got this to do, that to do. What about that video? I could watch YouTube. That video would come on YouTube. What about that book? All of a sudden, I've got a desire for a book. There's a book that I haven't looked at for 10 years, and now I really want to see this book. This book has become so fascinating to me now as I'm trying to wait on the Lord. I'm obsessed with this book. Where is the book? Maybe it's upstairs, downstairs. Where's the book? That book. I'm fascinated with that book. I'll do anything to find that book. That's spiritual warfare. So waiting involves spiritual warfare. It's spiritual warfare, but it's waiting on the Lord. And I'm telling you the truth. Unless people learn to wait on the Lord in this way, they'll never reach their potential in God. And the Lord was saying to me so clearly this week, everyone, he said to me, for my life, I mean, for your life, I'm concerned as well, but I'm concerned about my own life. He said to me, you haven't been waiting on me like you should be waiting on me. So if you feel conviction this morning, okay. But when you're the preacher and you're feeling the conviction in the week and you're feeling it strong, it's pretty serious. And I've been under conviction. Strong conviction. And so I've been waiting on the Lord this week. And he's been showing me and making things so clear to me for my life, but for our lives as a church. And he encouraged me so clearly to encourage you along these lines. The step two in prayer is waiting on the Lord. Amen? It's waiting, but it's a battle. If we had more time this morning, I might go in and show that it's the seeking realm. It's the seeking realm. The first realm is we're asking the Lord, petitioning the Lord. And in this realm here, we're just waiting, but we're waiting on him. And there's a seeking going on. We're seeking his will now. See, the first level, we're telling him, what we want. It's about us, our will, the second, we want his, we're seeking him. And some people, you know, they refer to these things and they say, well, there's a price to pay. This is the, you know, a price to pay to get close to the Lord, get to know the Lord's will. It's a price. But you know, I prefer a different way of viewing it. I view it as a privilege. It's not so much a price. Jesus paid the price. Jesus paid the price. This is my privilege now to enter into this. Psalm 40 says, verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord. I waited patiently for the Lord. How long do you have to wait? I don't know. It depends. I'll tell you this. The more you are used to waiting, the less you have to wait. The first few times is the hardest times to do this. You have to really push through. The flesh will try and come in. The flesh will try and stop you. You have to really press through. But if you press through in this realm, it's a tremendous thing, because you enter into the third place of prayer. But the second place is this: I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Amen. So the first one, we're pouring out our hearts. The second, when we're waiting on the Lord, what he does is there. Let me say this. In the first one, actually, you don't deal with the demonic. There's a demonic realm, and in the New Testament, it's very real, the demonic realm. So demons and the demonic, now please don't be nervous, but demons and those things are real, and the New Testament talks about it. It's so real, it's very clear. It may not be part of our experience, but it's certainly part of the New Testament. And in the first realm of prayer, when we're pouring out to God, we're pouring out, we don't deal with the supernatural on that demonic level. Not much happens in that level, in that realm at all. That's just pouring out our hearts. But in the second level, when we wait on the Lord, that's the supernatural level of demonic warfare. So there's activity in that level of prayer where there's demonic activity, and demons are defeated in that level. So that if you have a stronghold in your life, and if you press through in this area of waiting on the Lord, in prayer, you're waiting on the Lord in prayer, the stronghold will be defeated. But it's the second level of prayer. Are you still with me this morning, everyone? And that's a level then that takes us into a different realm. Those things that perhaps you've never had a breakthrough in your life. You've never had victory in an area. You've always felt as if you were just this type of person. Oh, you know, I'm just this type of person. It could be a stronghold stopping you going further. But if you wait on the Lord, what happens? You see, what happens is, we've just read it, Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of a horrible pit. He brings us up out of the horrible pit when we wait patiently for him. And that can be demonic oppression. It can be many other things as well. But I sense that I wanted to mention the demonic oppression this morning, because that's a reality of it. This is the reality of what we're talking about. And when we go into the tabernacle more, we'll see this more. Because in the tabernacle, the showbread is there, and the showbread speaks of Jesus' sacrifice. But that's in the holy place. This is the holy place. Level 2 is a holy place, which is the second step, you see? The first step, you enter into the tabernacle area. That's the place of the sacrifice. That's the place where the functional activities are done. The functional activities, the sacrifice is there, the feet are washed, the hands are done. We're pouring out our request to God. Heavenly Father, help me in this. Help my family. Help this. It's the functional. It's the day-to-day. You go into the tent, into that veil then, into the tabernacle, entering into the holy place, and now we have the showbread on the right. We have the menorah candle on the left-hand side, And we have the altar, second altar of incense now, standing for really the prayers of the people. It was never allowed to go out, of course. It was lit in the morning, it was lit in the afternoon, but it was never allowed to go out. Stood for the prayers, always going up. And so waiting on the Lord is in that level too. So he delivers us out. Deliverance is in that level. Level three. Is abiding in him. So if we wait, the Lord is ministering to us, we're in level two, and then at some point, if we spend time there, we're just yielding to him, we're just yielding before the Lord, and we may have to go to level one and level two for many days. We may go level one, level two for some time, but then one day, we enter into level three, the Holy of Holies. It's about spending time with the Lord, though. Make no mistake about it. We don't jump into God's presence in this way. That's not how it works. We have to spend time with God. There's no shortcuts. God doesn't do those shortcuts, you know. We like shortcuts. This world is always the culture of the day, doing things quicker, making things shorter, shortcuts, everything shortcuts, not with God. No, with God it's quality time, it's just yielding, and it's just time spent with him. Because, why? Because we had been diligent, we are diligently seeking him. The reality of our love for God is shown in our desire to spend time with God. And I tell you the truth, Jesus made this so clear. Come with me, please. Come to John's Gospel, John 15, and let me read this. There's something there about abiding. And in abiding, we're in level three. That's that level, and it's abiding. And this is what God is doing when we... in level three, and this is why in John 15, verse 7, it says this: if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. It shall be done for you. And I have people coming and they say, how come? I'm abiding in him. You know, I'm abiding in him. I 20 minutes of prayer in the morning. I read a little, you know, bit of this scripture every day. You know, I'm always doing it, you know. I'm sort of abiding in him. That's not abiding. That's a casual friendship. Casual friendship. No, abiding. Just abiding. He's everything to me. That's what that means. I don't want anything else. I'm not interested in other. He's everything to me. Jesus says... listen, Jesus says this is the way to follow Jesus. Listen, let me give a revelation, perhaps. He's not following us. We are following him. He called us to follow him. Not him following us. How do we follow him? We abide. We want to spend time with him. I just want to spend time with him. I can't. That's the only way. It's time. It's time spent. That's the way that it's done. This is why in the Old Testament, the tabernacle is such a clear picture, because it was constant. The sacrifices were there, daily sacrifices, morning and the evening, and the incense was daily, and it had to be prepared, and everything was done in a certain way, and there was a sense of order and a sense of utter diligence to this that God had given them. But in the New Testament, Jesus demands actually even more, because Jesus says to us, listen, you must be living sacrifices. Or the Apostle Paul says in Romans 12 that we are to be living sacrifices. Living sacrifices. In other words, listen, our life is for him. He is everything. He is the most important thing. Jesus says, unless the seed falls to the ground and dies. So, picking up our cross daily, The picture is that, you know, everything is for God. He is the most important. I just want to spend time with him. I just want to worship him. I want to listen to him. I want to wait diligently. And then I enter into this place of abiding. And in the place of abiding, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done to you. And in fact, in the abiding place, what happens is God surprises us with things. So if we spend time in that place, yielded before God, there's surprises for us. Surprises for us as a fellowship, by the way. And surprises for us as individuals. For our lives. It's like this. We follow him. Let's say if you come up here. So let's say for this example, let's say I'll with reverence be the Lord, and then you're following the Lord, okay? So, you know, the Lord, you know, takes us on a journey in life. He says, don't go there, don't do this, do that, speak to this one, don't do this. And how can she stay close? How can she follow the Lord? She has to hear his voice. Now Jesus says, my sheep will hear my voice. Come this way. Come on. Come this way. Come on this way. I like this, by the way. We'll have to practice this in the house after. That won't go down very well, will it? I better be careful here. But you know, that's what the Lord is. So the Lord says, come on, come this way, come on, this way, this way, come and do this, come and do this. And now, if, let's say, what happens is we stop. We stop, okay? And we're happy. We just stopped. And then we get comfortable. Now what happens is I move here, moving over here, and Micah's got very comfortable. And she's just sitting down. Everything feels fine. She's sitting down. She's comfortable. She's enjoying herself. She's feeling fine. But what happens is the Lord is over here. And before she even knows it, she could be a long way away. This is why the Lord's Prayer says to us that we ask for our food daily. Give us this day our daily bread. It's not just physical bread, it's spiritual bread. And it's that close walk with the Lord. So it's a daily walk with the Lord that we must have. Not waiting for the Lord. I tell you the truth, if we don't spend time with the Lord daily, it doesn't take long for our perspectives to get off track. And for things to go right, it happens so quickly. We know this, don't we? It's so quick. I've seen it happen so often. Do you know, friends, I'm counseling, you know, with some people, some ministers who had, one of the ministers I have as a friend, you know, he had the most remarkable ministry. He was a member of Oral Roberts University's board of directors. He was friends with all the worldwide known names. He had a daily television program. He had a school with 75 acres of ground in a beautiful Georgian mansion. And, in, you know, with a swimming pool in the back. I mean, it was just as grand as you could get. He had a television studio just for the programs. He had just everything that you could want. And then what happened? Disaster struck. And he had an affair with the choir mistress. And everything collapsed. And it was so sad. And Micah and I were there, and we helped him and his wife through the whole thing. And it was a terrible, it was an awful thing to witness. Awful it was. How could that happen to a man who was so used by God? Just what happened was he got really comfortable. He thought that everything was good. Everyone told him, everything told him, you know, oh, you're doing so well. What a great minister. What a great ministry this is. Oh, God is so close to you. You're so close to God. Oh, this is tremendous. He started hearing that all the time. Started hearing it and started believing that. And gets confident. Getting confident now, you know. And what happened was he was disconnected to the master. Disconnected to the master. But he was running on old relationship. It's like the flywheel of the engine. It was still spinning. The flywheel was still spinning because of the previous relationship with the engine. It was spinning, and he was relying on it spinning and spinning and spinning. But one day, it ground to a halt. That wheel just stopped spinning. He wasn't connected to the engine. And disaster hit. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is drawing us to himself now. He's just drawing us in. He's saying, listen, come to me. Come and spend time with me. Abide in me, he says. He says, abide in me. He says, listen, there's three steps. The first one, pour out your hearts to the Lord. Just empty yourself with all those things. That's necessary. We have to do it daily. The second one, wait on me. When you wait on the Lord, the strongholds of the enemy will be broken off your life. There are strongholds on your life now, today, that'll be broken off as you wait on the Lord. And as you wait on the Lord and you continue to wait on him over a period of time, and it is over a period of time, what happens is you enter into the holy place. It's a place of tremendous blessing, a place that you are surprised by God at what he does in your life. And you think, this is an amazing thing. I never thought this. You're surprised by him. It's an amazing thing. But my dear brothers and sisters, Jesus makes it so clear. We have to be people. If we have integrity in our relationship, we must be a people of prayer. It's so clear. The scriptures teach us, and they says, look, we have to be people of prayer. We can't be people who are just playing around. He says this, let me read, in fact, I'm going to read this as I close this morning. I'm going to read from John 15, and I'm going to close on this. It says from verse 1, now please listen now as we close. Put every effort into this listening, and then we're going to pray. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. So, Jesus is speaking here to those who are following him. He says this, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burnt. And I speak these words to each of us this morning, and I feel the weight of these words. So easy for Christians, they come to church, they just spend the time. Look at what the master says. Look at the one that we're following says to us. He's speaking to his disciples. He's giving them a warning. It's the starkest of warnings. My friends, these aren't my words. These aren't my words. This isn't my theory. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says to us so clearly that we must abide in him. Let me tell you what the word abide means, just briefly then. In the Greek, it means, the word is meno. It means to tarry as a guest or to lodge. I remain. It remains. It means to remain, to stay, to wait, to tarry as a guest or to lodge. That's what abide means. You see the picture the Master's giving us? Jesus gives us such a clear picture of what it is to be a Christian who is following him, and all Christians must follow him. So enough of this, let's try and find an hour and a half a week to pray together, and childishness. If we can find 2 hours some point, great, let's do it. But listen, this is childishness. There's 24 hours in a day. 24 hours every day. There's 7 days in a week. The Lord Jesus Christ is drawing us. He's saying, come and abide. Abide with me. Spend time with me. Spend time with me now. And then wait on me. Pour out your hearts in prayer. Then wait on me. And let's see what we can do as a praying people of God to impact this area of Oro and beyond via the various things that are going on in our lives. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together as we close.